WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining me here today. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. It's Wednesday. We're going to hear the rest of this sermon I just preached on Resurrection Day. It's entitled, On the Road to Emmaus. My favorite text out of the Easter, from Passion Week and from the Easter stories that we read and things we remember about Resurrection Day, Easter. I don't have a problem calling it Easter. I know what it is. I know what it is to me. It's the day my Savior, up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. We're going to hear the rest of that. Here in the meantime, I invite you out to church tonight. If you are tuned in at 5:30 in the evening, in 27 minutes, you can come to a Bible study. We're going to have a high time in the Word tonight. We're going to look at the last trumpet. We're going to look in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to get some explanations on what some symbols mean. The woman, the stars, the dragon. We're going to look at the last trumpet in chapter 11 when it says the mystery of God will be finished. I'm so tired of pre-tribulation rapture people poo-pooing the last trumpet and saying, that means nothing. All right? The Bible tells us that the sounding of the last trumpet, that the mystery of God would be finished. If that means nothing to you, so be it. That's where we're at here tonight. No, don't kid yourself, friend. There's great significance to the last trumpet. And then we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So that is where we are going to be tonight. Island Community Church, we're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 o'clock live if you're able to make it. If not, we will be broadcasting that live on Facebook as well. Go to our Facebook page, which is Island Community Church, and you can join us there. That feed will kick off live right around 6 o'clock. There's a big blackboard there. Bring your wide margin Bible and your pencil and write down some questions that you might have as we go along. Okay, here's the last part of this message now, On the Road to Emmaus.
Now, all this happened on that night and early morning, from Peter to Judas to what we just saw here with Jesus. Let's call this Friday to humor you. Friday. Because I believe it's Thursday, really, but that's a whole nother can of worms there, regardless of what day it is. Now, let's pick it up in the Gospel of Luke now, chapter 24. Now, Jesus is dead, as far as these travelers know, whom we're about to catch up with on the road. Not sure if they knew that the tomb was empty or not. And they're on their way to wherever they came from. They're dejected. By the way, can't you just hear it now? I can't believe he's dead, one must have said. We thought he was the Messiah, one said. But he died on Friday, the other said. What a weekend. The other said. Or, oh, man, our taxes are due next week, the other said. And I thought he was going to eliminate the Jerusalem state income tax. The other might have said. This is the banter that must have been going on here on this Easter morning. Now, verse 13. Luke 24, 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a road to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You see, I'm not making these things up. So it was, when they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not recognize him. Now, this word restrain is actually a name for God in the New Testament. It's the name, the word kratos, which means powerful or strong. Pantokratos is a name for God, Almighty God. Here you got the word kratos related to the eyes of these two on the road. That's how powerful, that's how powerfully they were kept from knowing who it was they were walking with. So it was, they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were powerfully restrained so that they did not know him or recognize him. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, he says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and you walk and are gloomy? So it's, what kind of muck is this that I'm hearing on this road? Is what he's saying to them. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger around here? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Or you have not known the things that happened there in these days? Or as my friend Ron Howard puts it, have you been under a rock these past 3 days? So here's the question again. Are you the only stranger that you don't know what's happened around here in these days? So he answered and said to him, what things? Now that is the funniest verse in all the New Testament. They say to the Son of God, where were you? Don't you know what happened? Look at all these things. And he goes, what things? Not a traditional response from Jesus, is it? I love that verse. So they said to themselves, all right, let's go down to his level here. Let's explain it to him now. What's happened? So they said to him, the things about Jesus of Nazareth. You remember him, the guy with the beard, died on the cross. So they said, well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But, this is the first problem here, this but. See, there is no but after the resurrection. That was what I forgot to say. There's two places where these guys went wrong. This is one of them. Thinking there's a but after the crucifixion. There is no but. This was God's plan all along. We read in Revelation 13:8. That he was slain from the foundation of the world. This was always God's plan. He doesn't respond as things happen. He decrees a plan, and so it is. So the word but here shows you this is where their first problem. Where they says, but we were hoping it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these happened. Verse 22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now, there's problem number two and the word astonish. Are you kidding me, people? Haven't you heard a word he said for the last 3 years? This was all he said walking on the road with him. The Son of God is going to be betrayed, and after 3 days, he's going to rise again, right? As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Or the night before, one of you is going to betray me. Hello, people, this is nothing new. Why are you astonished when they say, he lives? Why are you astonished when they says, hey, the tomb is empty? I would hope to think that I would be one that would be astonished if there was someone there and not empty. Or am I thinking too much of myself? That's the ideal response, right, Brent? I'd hope that's where I would be. So we're astonished. And verse 24, certain of those that were with us, they went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. All right, now from their perspective, they're bewildered by two things. Number one, the Messiah died. Number two, his body was missing and not in the tomb. Okay, now for his answer to them. Verse 25, then he said that I'm, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All right. First of all, he calls them slow. Slow of heart. Quite the derogatory term. Something we would use of kids in the playground when we were young. Slow. Then he called them fools. He didn't just pat them on the back and say, oh, tut, 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 tut. It's I. He said, oh, you fools. Don't you know your Bible? He expected them to know. Fools for not knowing the word of God. I read this comment recently. It said, the greatest mistake a person could ever make in their entire life would be to mistake who Jesus is. There's no greater mistake than you can make to mistake who he is and what he did. And what he has the power and the authority to do. Now, just last week on Palm Sunday, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said that your enemies will not leave one stone here upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. All right, so beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I have a Bible, an old Bible, that someone did in the pilgrim's time from the 1600s. And here at that verse here, there's 49 scripture references that he could have taken them to. It's like the whole bottom half of my whole Bible. 49 different places. Written in advance, of course, before that happened. 49 different places. So beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. It's important to see on Easter morning what Jesus did. He taught Bible prophecy. Like this. Deuteronomy 18:18. We heard it in Sunday school this morning. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And yet there's hundreds I could read here. My favorite, Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you're a little among the thousands of Judah, out of you will come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. These are the things that Jesus did with these guys on the road. He showed them where it was written 800 years ago. You'll recognize the Messiah when he's born in Bethlehem. And another prophet says he comes out of Galilee. Out of you, Galilee has seen a great light, it says. Well, not one or the other. The Bible talks of both places. And this verse here must have particularly hit them like a ton of bricks. Listen to this. Psalm 22, verse 16. Now remember, this is Sunday, and this happened Friday. I mean, think of you guys. You can probably still smell, maybe your kids can, what they had for breakfast on Friday. Who remembers in here what they had for dinner Friday night? Who can remember losing at Domino's Friday night? Less. That's how this was in their mind. They are not 970 years apart from this. This was fresh. This just happened. What I'm about to read to you on Friday and today's Sunday. This happened on Friday and today's Sunday. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. 970 years before it happened. See, this is what sets us apart from everyone else. Muslim, Hindu, whoever it is. And that is Jehovah God is the only one that tells you things that happened before they happened. Amen. Prophecy. The book of Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Things are written down before they happen for one reason and one reason alone. So that you will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it. And give him the glory. Incredible prophecies. Okay, now let's follow this story here all the way to the end. So then they drew near to the village where they were going. I mean, I could have read to you 47 others, by the way. Last time I preached this before years ago, I think I brought a blackboard out here. And I showed you the odds of one person fulfilling four things. The odds of one person fulfilling four things written about them before it happens is 1 in 10 to the 27th power. That'd be a whole lot of zeros. Now, there's 49. There are hundreds of prophecies about Jesus. Hundreds. Okay, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he, capital H, that's Jesus, he indicated that he would have gone farther with them. I can hear him now. Shall we keep going? Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening. The day is far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them to eat. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him. I can see it now. Don't you see how this happened? He went, he got bread, he took bread, and he broke it. And they said, I know you. Your hands. He had holes in his hands. And once they recognized him, he was gone. Poof. And now, okay, now these guys are on a roll. After seeing that, that's all that they needed. So now they're going to go back 7 miles in the other direction. And I'll prove it to you that it was holes that they saw. Verse 33, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn when he talked with us on the road and when he opened up the scriptures to us? So they went up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11, and those that were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Okay, we're about done here. I want to wrap this up. So they rose up that very hour. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Simon is Peter. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. And listen to this, verse 35. How he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. When he broke the bread, they recognized him. I've heard it before. It's the only man-made thing in heaven. You know what it is? The holes in Jesus' hands. What we did to him here on earth. He was known in the breaking of the bread. And that is what the original resurrection day morning looked like. And speaking of the resurrection, church, the resurrection is the Christian faith. This is, again, what sets us apart from everyone else and any other so-called religion in the world, is that death is not the end for us. Death is only the beginning. Death is only the beginning. Now, four last things to remember here today. Number one, Jesus is the only one who has the power to deal with your sin problem. Number two, Jesus paid the cost for your sins, and the price was his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, we read in the Bible. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one who had the power to deal with it. His blood is the only thing strong enough to deal with it. Number three, God verified everything Jesus did and said by raising him from the dead. And number four, fourth thing is, neither death nor sin will have a hold on you either if you believe. No tomb will ever hold your spirit if you believe and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart is the ability to capture and enjoy those wonderful times of life and let it turn to laughter. Your sense of humor is a gift from God, and it has been documented, I mean psychologically documented, that laughter, along with a well-rounded sense of humor, is one of the sure signs of intelligence. I'm not talking about unwholesome laughter. I'm not talking about cheap, coarse, degrading humor. The Bible warns against that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, that we are warned against filthiness and foolish talking and jesting, which is not convenient. But good, wholesome laughter is a gift from God, And Abraham Lincoln said one time that God must have meant for us to laugh, or else he would not have made so many mules and parrots and monkeys and human beings. God wants us to laugh.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM,